Let's pray to God. Our Lord, we ask this morning that you somehow, some way, fill us with childlike wonder, with the ability to look at our world and see your creation, your handiwork, beautiful things that you have made. We confess to you, Lord, that at times we get distracted by all the hatred in our world. But we come before you this morning confessing, sure, full of faith, that in your creation, even among us here this morning, there is far more love than there is hatred. There's far more what is right than what is wrong. There's far more good than there is bad. And we only say that this morning as an act of faith because of what you've done among us and what you continue to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. We run the risk of letting this become just another day. That's true of Christmas Eve. It's true of our birthdays as we get older. That's just another day. The danger of taking on a belief that every day is equal is that no day is special. And when it comes to God, God likes special days. Even the way the beginning of time as we know it is marked by special days. God even goes so far as to start naming things from the very beginning of the story in Genesis 1. God called the light day. And he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning. And then you know what that was called at that point in the story? Light, day, morning, all that. You know what the text says in Genesis 1? And that was called the first day. And you have to wonder that after the first day, and the second day, and the third day, and once everything was put in place, the people who walked around, you can only imagine what their first thoughts and the first things that they said to one another might have been. You ever thought about that? You ever just kind of danced around in your head a little bit? What did they talk about? They didn't have memory. So they weren't going to talk about, well, you remember Christmas 10 years ago? They didn't know what 10 years ago was. My guess is that whenever they first started talking to each other, they looked at one another and started saying things like, who are we? How did we get here? And that is where the story of God begins for us. How did we get here? Well, God. Who are we? That's where God comes in. And then, of course, many years later, once this story that we've been telling all month, this month comes full circle to the death and resurrection of Jesus, our salvation, Matthew 28 begins with all kinds of special words about a special day to mark it as yet another example of another, the first day. Maybe the first day to top all other, the first days. Matthew 28 begins after the Sabbath as the first day of the week was dawning. Now, those of us who start getting older and a little bit more calloused and start losing some of that childlike wonder, we'll hear something like that and we'll say, oh, that was just an expression, the first day of the week. It's just like any other, the first day of the week. I don't think so. Not for the people who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus, who were there, who saw it firsthand and started writing about it. That was not another, the first day of the week. Now, everything has been changed. And so people for years told the story of that new, the first day of the week. In fact, Here we are years later, and we're still telling the story. It's not just a generic statement about the first day of the week. No, now everything has changed. Now, the first day takes all other the first days. It takes the birth of Jesus. It takes everything and frames it in a new way. So, over the last week, I've heard all kinds of things in all kinds of different places. I've had people say, Merry Christmas. And I've had people say, Season's greetings. And I've heard people say, Happy Holidays. See? And Happy Holidays to you, my man. Now, the world might tell us to say, well, no, we got to get this one right. You'd better say it the right way. Come on, man. Someone says Happy Holidays to you. You know what you say? You too. Because how many other times during the whole rest of our lives do people come up and say happy something to you? Now the rest of the world's going to say, you know, you should be angry. You should be frustrated. You should be mad. I read through on somethingsomething.com, one of the news sites. They had a collection of editorial cartoons over the last month. And so most of them had, you know, Santa Claus and reindeer and all kinds of things on them. But every single cartoon, without exception in that collection, was just had this veneer of cynicism and frustration and anger over it. And I just thought, you know, this is a really good day to go up. You know how whenever you pull up a browser, it's usually in a rectangle or a square. And up in the upper left-hand corner, at least on some browsers, there's these three circles. There's a red one, and a yellow one, and a green one. I thought, this is a good time to go up into the upper left-hand corner, and that little red one that when you hover over it, it turns into an X. It's a good day to click that X. Because this is not a time to give in to frustration, anger, cynicism, calloused hearts. It's not a day. No, this is a different kind of the first day. Because knowing what we know and living the way we live in Jesus is what makes hearing something like where the Gospel of Mark begins, 1:1, it begins on this special day with these words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is no ordinary day of good news. This is the day. This is an ultimate moment that will define all other moments from here forward. In some ways, kind of like what John does in his gospel book, in his 1:1, he takes all of creation, everything, not just creation as a day back then, but the whole of creation, and says, in the beginning was the Word, but not just the beginning as a point on the timeline, but all these beginnings, all these the first days. And every time we come into contact with a new beginning, there's the Word of God. The incarnate, living Word of God. And Mark tells his story, and Luke does too, and Matthew does, around Jesus all these first days. And then years later, the Gospel of Luke shows up on the scene. Gospel of Luke, there's pretty good historical evidence from the texts that the Gospel of Luke took the Gospel of Mark as source material. Did you know that in Matthew, about 90-something percent of the Gospel of Mark shows up in Matthew. Same way with Luke, about 60-something percent of the Gospel of Mark shows up in Luke. And so he has this source material, and Luke says, let's take this story and let's tell more. Let's tell more of this story, which is pretty much what we do every time we come together. We take the source material, the Word of God that God has given us, and we say, let's tell more. Let's tell more of this story. Well, that's what Luke did. Luke takes this original story and says, ah, I've got more to this story that we cannot not tell you. He takes the Gospel of Mark and he raises the stakes. He says, here's more of the story. And you know where he starts? This is what makes Mark and Luke together such a special grouping of stories. You know what Luke does? He takes the Gospel of Mark and he says, let me tell you one more part of the beginning of this story. And you know where it begins? It begins with someone who was likely an overlooked teenage girl out in the middle of nowhere, way up in the north, in the hills west of the Sea of Galilee. This nowhere place called Nazareth that even people in the Bible say, nothing good that comes out of Nazareth. This teenage girl in the middle of nowhere, up north and west. And then when you get there, you turn left, when you really get to the middle of nowhere, and you meet this girl from a place that people say in Scripture, nothing good comes from there. You ever been to that place? The place out in the middle of nowhere that you think, I want to go home. That's Nazareth. Middle of nowhere, nothing good, lots of rocks, dirt, and a place no one cares about anymore. It was from that place that this girl that Luke introduces us travels east and then south and finds herself in another middle of nowhere place. Not in Jerusalem, but 6 miles outside of Jerusalem, down the mountain, in yet another place that is middle of nowhere, rocks, dirt, and a whole lot of nothing. If you've ever been to Nazareth, and if you've ever been to Bethlehem, they pretty much look the same. Not much to them. And then this young lady, holds this baby in her arms that would later give us the ultimate way of life. For her, it too was a new life, a new instance of the first day. Why does Luke take Mark and go to so much trouble to tell us this story? It's because as she holds this baby in her arms, a brand new the first day. And then on her the first day, she sang a song. I'd like to think that she was a singing type. She was the kind of girl that, for whatever reason, just broke into song for no apparent reason. God came to her and said, let me tell you what's about to happen to you. And you know what she did? She started singing. And she sang, my soul magnifies the Lord. And then she's in the middle of nowhere and she just gave birth. And I can't help but think that she probably was a little frightened. And then what if at that moment she started singing again? My soul magnifies the Lord. And because that's who she was. That's what she did. I sat next to a little girl. Bridget, how old is Emily now? Five. I should know this. I just asked her how old Emily was. I should know this since we were born on the same day, 40 years apart. So Emily is 5. She was 2, maybe. I sat next to her one day at lunch on a Sunday morning. Nobody remembers that day. Emily probably doesn't remember that day when she was 2. Nobody else probably does, but I remember it because we were sitting next to each other at lunch, and she would take a bite of food, and then she would put her food down, finish chewing it, swallow, and she would just start singing. She would sing for a little bit, and then she would stop. She would pick up food, another bite of food, chew it, and she would just start singing again. And you know why? It's who she is. Why did a teenage girl from the middle of nowhere meet the voice of God and start singing? It's who she was. Because of the announcement of God. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be on this special day. The Lord acted then, the Lord acts today. But today is not just any day. Today is an ultimate day of anticipation. The day before we too get to hold the living truth. The day before we ourselves are held in the arms of all who have ever through the years, dared to hope, dared to say, in spite of the world's frustrations, I'm going to act in faith. I'm just going to take this on faith that God is still acting. All who have ever dared to hope, who have ever chosen peace when it would be easier to choose war. All who continue to sing of the joy of the Lord as our strength. All who love in the name of Jesus, as it was in the beginning, so shall it ever be. He was with God in the beginning, and He is with us today. And so you know what we do? We sing. Like a young mother who in faith trusted the Lord, who made all things new, and continues on this special day to do the same with us on this good morning. This brand new day. This brand new experience of the first day. And so we sing. My soul magnifies the Lord. Amen.